Hello, greetings, salutations to you people enjoying your days of isolation, the quarantainment of 2020.
Also, that makes me, or that reminds me that there like is a word that starts with a letter V that is really relevant right now. Mm-hmm. And if we say that, we get demonetized. Did you know that?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Apparently, that's what I heard. So we're not going to talk about that.
I don't even know what the word is.
It starts with a V and ends with an S, and there's an I-R-U in the middle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And, I mean, even the whole thing. I'm pretty sure you get demonetized. That's just what I've heard. I could be wrong, but, like, whatever.
Wow, good thing you said that, because, wow. Yeah.
So, anyway.
I think I would have to be said that in the last video.
Yeah, a bunch of times. But, you know, at this point, who cares? Like,
yeah,
you know, to be honest, I'm so sick of hearing about it and talking about it.
So, a quick question before I forget. If the camera looks a little, like, not clean to you guys, let me know.
Yeah.
I think I grabbed it over the weekend moving it, and I might have smudged it, and I just tried wiping it off. It looks,
maybe.
It looks fine, but it might. It's okay. Yeah, it might not be fine, but if you people watching, if you watch it or you listen, just let me know so I can get that rectified.
Anyway, okay, what cool. What are we going to talk about today?
Today we are going to discuss some of our favorite comic book characters. Like, we were wrestling like favorite superheroes, but I think more comic book characters. A lot of comic book characters are superheroes, but there are a bunch that are not, or they may be
necessarily.
More
necessarily. There's some, yeah, there's some characters too that could kind of be considered superheroes, even though
yeah,
not,
yeah.
You know?
So, like for example, I'll start us off. One of my favorites of all time, which I have mentioned multiple times, is Hellboy. Hellboy is one of my personal favorites. If you don't know Hellboy, he is a devil demon. He's basically a tiefling.
Yeah.
He basically was born of the union of a human and a demon. And he basically uses his supernatural gifts to hunt the supernatural that are making a ruckus. In the terms of things, when things go bump in the night, he bumps back.
Why do you like Hellboy so much?
I don't know. There's just something really, like, fun about his character. He's just kind of, like, nonchalant. Like, for example, there's, like, one scene where this, like, he's got this whole fate about him where his, if you don't know, his right hand is made of stone and has, like, these great engravings and stuff on them. It's known as the Right Hand of Doom because it is the key that'll basically start apocalypse. Hellboy is literally known as the Beast of the Apocalypse. Well, that's the translation of his real name, Anung Anrama.
Okay.
So basically, his fate is to bring about apocalypse and wipe out all life. And he doesn't believe it. Well, at least in the beginning of this story, he didn't believe it. He wants nothing to do with it. And there's this one fight where this lady's like telling him, oh yeah, your fate is to do this thing. You will wipe out all life. You will bring about the apocalypse. And like she's like, has, like, these tentacle things, and, like, one of them smacks him away, and he's, like, flying out of this building and falling, like, 10 stories. He's just sitting there saying, not gonna happen, lady. He's very nonchalant about everything. Like, he could be, like, plummeting towards the ground from it, like, a 10-story drop. Just look at it and go, ah, oh, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
And then just get up, dust himself off, and go right back at it.
So what is, or what are, I should say, what are, like, Hellboy's powers and...
Besides being a naturally sturdy, he definitely, I think from a right, he heals faster. He doesn't like, I think he has a lot of like magical abilities. He's very much like, he has a gun, like he's very famous for having that very large gun, the Good Samaritan, even though he naturally says he's a bad shot. Most of the time, he's just really strong and can take a beating.
So like super strength.
Yep, super strength.
And, like, durability, too. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. I could be missing a bunch, because I'm not, like, I like Hellboy. I haven't read all of his comics. I read, like, the first...
Yeah, but I just mean, you don't have to get super into it. Just, like, kind of the spark notes. Like, what draws you to Hellboy? What makes you like this character? His aesthetic, his personality, his superpowers.
It's definitely just, like, his personality. It's not really more of, like, his superpowers because, yeah, he's, like, I just pulled it up just remember. Durability, strength, he doesn't age as fast, healing, enhanced sight, like, basically things that would come with being, like, a spawn of a demon. And there's just something cool because the writer, Mike Mignola, takes all these actual, like, fairy tales and stuff we would get in our world, and he kind of like twists them and turns them into stories for Hellboy.
Gotcha.
So it's very much like that style of storytelling where you get all these different bits and pieces of fantasy and stories. Like, he himself, Hellboy, is the only living descendant of King Arthur.
Okay.
He is the son of, he's the descendant of Arthur's sister, Morgan. Because I don't know all the story, I'm pretty sure. I don't know all the story, but basically, yeah, he is the last living descendant of King Arthur. And thus, at one point, he does find Excalibur. And he wields Excalibur throughout his stories. So that hits me on another note because I enjoy King Arthur's story.
You like Arthurian legends and stuff, yeah.
So there's all that stuff kind of tied in there, and it's just a really fun, like, fantasy series. It's kind of like a catch-all of fantasy series.
The artwork is always kind of like cartoony, but like really cool too.
Yeah, that's kind of like that
classic
Mike
comics.
Yeah, that's kind of like that Mike Mignola like signature kind of style. And I'm just gonna pull up just confirmed. Like, yeah, like this style art is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, lots of deep shadows and like black, like just inky blackness.
Yeah.
Contrasted with usually like a splash of red, or just against Hellboy himself, who is red.
Yeah. So yeah, that's very much like that Mike Mignola style of art. Is
it kind of gives like almost like a little bit of a, like a film noir kind of feel to it in a way, even though there is color in most of the artwork that, you know, you'll see on covers and stuff. There's a lot of black and white stuff though too that I remember, and like even here, like just seeing it, like.
Yeah, like, I know there was one story. I don't remember all the, like, the finer details, but,
Is that Geralt of Rivia?
Yeah. There's a Witcher comic that comes out every once in a while. One of the arcs Mike Mignola drew the cover for.
Okay. That's actually really cool. And that, it's super funny that, like, that comes up like that. Because I was gonna ask you, okay, so, like, Hellboy, basically no one would dispute, like, Hellboy's, like, a superhero. You know, but like, okay, Geralt of Rivia, would you say that he counts as a superhero?
No, I don't think I would count Geralt as a superhero because he's not
like...
a
hero.
He is a hero of sorts, but that's one thing that like kind of Geralt's been about is like he's not a hero. He's a guy doing a job.
Well, that may be what Geralt of Rivia would tell you, but... by other definitions, you know,
I would count him. Yeah, he is kind of a hero. I wouldn't like label him a superhero because he's not going out of his way to like help people all the time. But there's times where he's like just he begrudgingly helps someone, or like
he always does it for money though.
Yeah,
is the thing, right?
Yeah. But if anything, he might
is
be
heroic
labeled
heroic still, and you know. In a pretty, I would say, reasonable sense, right?
Yeah.
He still hunts monsters and saves people's lives, even if it is for money. And in a way, you could say that he's a super
like,
hero
in that case,
because he does have powers that normal people don't have.
In that way, you guys, because I was just confirming the definition of it, you might consider him a probably more of like an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Because he does heroic things, but he doesn't go about them in the conventional methods
he doesn't do it like Superman or Spider-Man would.
Yeah, no, he doesn't like going, he's not going like going out to save people. He's like, he goes out, he's just like, I'm just trying to make coin, I'm trying just getting by,
do a job
and helping people. But there are times where he has been known to be kind of like, don't worry about it, it's what was the right thing to do, and it wouldn't be right. Or he would like do something.
He's driven by his own motivations.
Yeah,
though, very much.
Yeah, and he would like sometimes do something that's like, all right, I will, yeah, I'll help you, but then give me this. But in return, like the thing he asked for turns out to like twist and help someone else, or like help the situation even better. Like,
gotcha.
He's a very complex character in that sort.
Yeah, I think he's pretty cool. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I would consider him a superhero or if I wouldn't consider him a superhero necessarily. But I think he's debatable to be considered a superhero.
He has heroic qualities, but I wouldn't like. I wouldn't label him a superhero.
I wouldn't necessarily argue with you about not calling him a superhero.
Yeah,
cool. I wouldn't argue with you, but like, I think it's interesting to bring up because I feel like you kind of could make an argument that he is. Too, you know?
Yeah, and then it's the same way, like, I wouldn't, like, Hellboy is another person who fits that category where it's like, he fits the quality and he is going out to do good, but I don't know if I would label him exactly a superhero, but he is more on the line of, like, helping people to help people,
Like, the thing about Hellboy, though, that makes him, like, more of a superhero to me, like, I wouldn't really ever debate... If someone said, like, I don't think Hellboy is a superhero,
yeah,
I would debate that. Because, actually, why don't you just look it up right now? Just, yeah. Like, well, not only that, but I was going to say...
He is considered a superhero.
Just, like, Google and, like, see what the definition for superhero even is. Like, just type define superhero or, you know...
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, I just looked up is Hellboy a superhero, and by he is technically a superhero... Superhero, benevolent fictional character with superhuman powers such as Superman.
Okay, so benevolent meaning good,
mm-hmm.
and then fictional character. So,
okay.
You know, no real people. And then they also have to have superpower. Or how did they word it? Did they say superpowers?
Like with superhuman powers.
So powers beyond that of which.
Yeah. So,
you know,
are
a
we
normal person?
So, are we looking at this like, are they a superhero by definition, and are they a superhero?
I think
like
both. I think okay. We should look at it because so like by definition, wouldn't Geralt of Rivia be a superhero?
By definition, yes. But I'm also trying to think more. I'm like, well, Geralt does have benevolent qualities, but he also is very much at times where he's like, I'm not getting involved.
Yeah,
there's times where he's walked in on situations like happening, and he's like. No.
That's true. So, like, he's not always good.
There's times where he just walks away from situations and lets it play out.
So, like, just out of curiosity, too, because, you know, we like D&D and stuff, mm-hmm. and I think alignment is, like, such a silly idea, but at the same time, it's still kind of fun. So what kind of alignment do you think, like, Geralt would be? What kind of alignment do you think Hellboy would be? Like, if you personally had to, like...
Geralt, I think would be either, because he's not always a neutral, because I would say, initially, you would say, most witchers are supposed to be true neutral.
Yeah.
I would say, because I'm trying to think, either, I would say chaotic neutral, or neutral good, because I'm trying to find the way, because he's
definitely within the neutral spectrum, though.
Yeah, because he will willingly... walk away from situations with people in need if, one, it doesn't benefit him, or he doesn't find a reason to get involved. He has no problem walking away.
Yeah, I think that is a good point, which is why I would say he might be... I would say maybe neutral good or true neutral, and the reason is because, like you said, he'll have situations that he'll walk away from, you know, because it doesn't benefit him, but at the same time, if it's a situation in which it'll help somebody, but it'll also help him, or like an act of self-preservation, kind of, you know, like.
And there's like a lot of times, like especially like when you look at even like the Geralt's character, like throughout the and like in the games, like in The Witcher 3, when it comes to like the end of it all, he reaches a point where he's like, you know. This situation, if I follow through with it, is going to help everyone, but the main reason I'm doing this is because it directly helps someone I raised.
Right.
That's the whole reason he got involved, and that's the whole reason he's continuing. Like, he's also had past interaction and thinks that it all needs to end, but it also helps that he's got a little bit more of a personal stake. Otherwise, so I think he wouldn't have gotten involved.
But Geralt does have feelings, I guess, in a sense, right? Like, so he cares about Ciri... You know, and he cares about Yennefer, And so he'll do things to help those people that he cares about. But against, like, strangers, and I don't, maybe the word against isn't the right thing, but, like, when he's put into situations that deal with strangers, like, he doesn't necessarily be like, oh, I need to, you know, help this person. He's always looking for, like, you know, I'll help you if you can offer me something in return. Or, like, if...
Yeah, sometimes he will
help. If you offer me something, you know, it'd be really... It'd be nice.
Yeah, this is why,
kind of why I'm here.
Yeah. Like, Geralt's a really complex character in that matter, because there's times where he'll do, like, I'll help you, you gotta do something for me. Or, like, he'll, like, one situation he walked upon a group of villagers burning down a house with an elf woman trapped inside. And he goes, like, all right, this is fucked up. And he kills the humans, lets her out. And she was like, all right, I will repay you. He goes, no, you don't need to. Like, I was doing the right thing at the moment. And he just moves on with his day. Like, there are situations like that where he'll do something without gain, but they happen as, like, as many times as he's like, you're gonna pay me to help you. Like, I'm figuring this out more as I'm talking about it. If he's put into a situation where there's injustices happening on that scale, and he can do something minuscule without too much threat to himself, he tends to do them. Otherwise, if someone's like, oh, sir, can you help us? Can you do this thing for us?
He's like, that sounds like a big of enough of a pain in the ass that I'm going to need money for it. Like, that kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Where, and also, I think maybe there's a dynamic, too, whereas, like, with the villagers burning down the house of an elven woman or whatever, let's say he walked away from that. How many... If he let those people that were burning down her house get away with it, how else could they negatively impact the world to a point to where it may affect people that he cares about or him himself?
Probably little, you know?
Probably little to none, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, it almost seems to be like a thing where he's like, well, I'm here now, and I could just kill these guys.
Yeah.
And then there would be an issue that would is like, or like that would be a potential issue, like, gone.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it would be like pretty little chance, but still, I kind of see it as.
Because also, like, if you take like the, cause especially as that's a story that everyone knows, because if they watch the show and read the books, there's a part where you remember him and Dandelion got kidnapped by that band of elves. I don't know if you actually reached that episode.
I have not. I only watched the first episode of it, but I really want to see the rest of it.
It's a well-known story, so I have no problem sharing it if you're fine with it. But basically, it's spoilers. You haven't read the books. The books have been out for a while and watched the show. But basically, there's a story where Geralt and Dandelion get hired to kill what a guy is calling a devil. And Geralt's like, sure, I'll take it. He's been looking for work. And Dandelion's like, dude, there's no such thing as devils. Why are you taking this? He goes, we need money to get food. We need food. This guy's offering us food, a place to rest, and money. I'm going to take the job. I'm going to go kick rocks and report back that there's nothing. I know there's nothing. There's no such thing as devils. But he ends up finding a Sylvan, which is a very devil-like individual. It's like a satyr with horns.
Yeah, I think I kind of remember seeing the scene, or like part of the scene in this episode that you're talking about.
So basically, this turns out the satyr is working for a group of, a band of like elves. And he's been stealing grain and corn for them, because the elves where they're living up at like the mountains and stuff, they don't have good enough soil to tend and farm, and so their people are dying. They don't always conceive when they're trying to reproduce, so the elves are in a very rough state in the world. And so he meets the elves, and the elves are like, we're gotta kill them, they know what we're doing, and Geralt's like, you know what? Fine. Kill me. Let Dandelion go. I'm not helping you people. I'm not covering you up. Dandelion won't say anything. Meanwhile, Dandelion's like creating a ruckus. He's like saying that he's gonna like tell the world where they're hiding out at and that they're dying and stuff. And Geralt's like, no, you're not. You're going to shut up. You're going to leave. You're going to live. They'll kill me. They'll still die. They'll get what they deserve. So he's very much like this band of elves. He was perfectly okay with letting them die. And will walk away from the situation if he could.
Yeah.
So I think it turned out pretty well. The elves left and Geralt lives, obviously. But
he's definitely a tough guy. And I think, too, as much as we could, like, argue, is Geralt a superhero or not? I think what you were alluding to earlier, he's more of an anti-hero in a way. It's kind of, you know, more accurate.
Yeah. That's definitely the way how I would look at him. Now, for the sake of it, let's see what the internet labels him. Oh, I mean, by that term, yeah. It's because... Let's try it with the superhero.
Superhero.
Now it's just theories. But yeah, basically, he's a very, like... But I think when it comes to him being... yeah, that's not really, like, a full term here. But yeah, he's a very complex character in that sense. Which, it's nice, because you don't really know how he's going to react or what he's going to do. He's always just like, it's whatever. But,
Well, yeah. I mean, that was kind of a fun discussion about Geralt. You know, getting a little off topic from, you know, one of your favorite superheroes you said was Hellboy. Mm-hmm. So, is there any other superheroes you, like, want to give a shout-out to that you're really a fan of?
Besides Hellboy, I mean, obviously, yeah, like, Spider-Man's and Iron Man, another one of my personal favorites, big time. Is Spawn. We've spent a lot of time watching Spawn stuff. Spawn is literally so the definition of anti-hero. True and true. He was involved in the military special forces until he was assassinated by the very company he works with. He made a deal with a demon or a higher devil named Malboja to be brought back to life so he can be with his wife again. Turns out Malboja dumps him 5 years in the future. No memory. And just kind of lets him be. Over time, Spawn remembers who he is, learns how to use his suit, and eventually starts taking revenge on, like, trying... Initially, he just wants to establish peace, because everyone's been coming after him since the time he, like, got brought back, and he just wants to be left alone. And from, like, the mafia and the police and other, like, superheroes in the world, and, like, Malboja and his demons, like, the most famous of which is the Violator... He's just like, everyone, I'm taking a few blocks. The alleys in this block, they are mine. You come here uninvited, I'm going to rip your fucking head off. Go away.
Yeah. That reminds me of, like, a saying I've heard before. I think Colin Moriarty said this once, and he was probably quoting somebody else, but there's two kinds of people in the world. Those who want to be left alone, and those who won't leave them the fuck alone.
Yeah, Spawn is definitely one of the...
It might not have been Colin that said that, but I thought, like, it might have been.
Spawn is definitely one of the coolest characters around.
Dude, there was a super cool picture that you,
like,
just...
This is one of my favorite pictures. Tom McFarlane just drew this picture recently.
Oh, really? Is this from this year?
Yeah.
That is super cool.
Show you guys this picture I'm talking about.
Do you think Spawn wears, like, JNCO jeans? Is that what we're looking at here? What is happening? We need a superhero to save us.
Technical difficulties. Okay. There we go. Okay, yeah, that's the picture.
Huge. Like,
fuck it.
In comparison. No, that's fine. We could be big. We're Gigantamax. So
this is the picture. Basically...
Dude, we're Gigantamax right now.
So, okay. One of Spawn's... Todd McFarlane, the guy who created Spawn, was most famous for a lot of work he did with Spider-Man. One, he created Venom. Two, he's the reason Spider-Man kind of moves around like an arachnid, and the way his webs look the way he does. But he had drawn...
He did, like, the whole, like, webs, like, the rope, but then, like, the things around the web. It's like, he came up with that, didn't he?
Yeah, so this is a picture he drew recently, and it was one of the first times he's drawn Spider-Man in a while. And especially, like, it's just really cool. You got Spawn on one side of the gargoyle and Spider-Man hanging down, which very much Spawn is cool. Kind of reminiscent of, like, Spider-Man and Venom in a sense.
He's so reminiscent of Venom. Like, you can definitely tell that Venom was made... based on kind of like how Spawn looks.
All right, now what picture were you talking about?
Okay, I was talking about this picture. I don't know who drew this, but it's really cool.
I think that was
Alex Ross?
Yeah, I think that's from like Spawn 300 or something.
Wait, Alex Ross? What else has he done?
Kingdom Come. DC's Kingdom Come event.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's him?
Yeah, I guarantee if I just type in like... let's get rid of some of this stuff. Like... Alex
he drew
Ross.
Spawn?
No, I think he did it for like that of like the this, for the 300 because it was
dude,
very much.
Dude, this
like,
guy is one of the greatest comic book artists like ever, basically. Because Kingdom Come is just like all everyone's a painting. It's like so amazing.
Yeah, well, he did Spawn 301. I think I might have that cover. If not, it's on my list of things to buy. Because I have a lot of Spawn 300.
That was, but like, seriously, like, that Spawn that, cover was so cool.
How many people have honestly can say they've seen that image? That's a very popular image.
That is actually really,
or like,
wait a second.
That one.
Who is that guy?
Which
right
one?
Right here.
That's Red Robin.
Who, Red Robin, like the restaurant? Like, who is he?
Fuck, I can't.
Is he a Batman guy?
Yeah, no, yeah, he was one of the Robins. It's not... There you have Dick, you have Todd.
Third Robin, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the third Robin. Nugget's shouting from the other room. I don't remember his name. Dick, Todd, Dick Grayson. I think that's not Todd, Jason Todd. It's the third one. I can't think of his name. I can never remember the third Robin's name. But yeah, after he...
Wait.
There's been four Robins.
Dick, and then Todd.
Dick, Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson, Jason Todd.
Dick and Jason Todd.
And then there's a...
Damian.
Damian is the fourth Robin. Right? Damian's the fourth Robin.
There's another one?
There's a third Robin who became...
Just look it up, because I didn't
even
know that.
Who became Red Robin.
I thought that the, like, fourth Robin was, like, that one time that, like, some, like, girl... So that like some like random girl or whatever like became like
Tim Drake.
Tim Drake. Okay, never mind. I'm stupid. I'm kicking myself.
Tim Drake. And yeah, so oh, look, we're recording and there is a Nugget.
Hi Nugget.
Nugget, you want to poke your head and say hi to no one?
Carrie.
Hi.
You guys are recording.
Of course we're recording.
It's okay. There's that's Nugget. I like that guy. He's weird.
Yeah, so yeah, Tim Drake.
I'm kidding, it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
He's been voiced by Yuri Lowenthal at some point.
Okay.
In his life. But yeah, it's Tim Drake.
Cool.
Red Robin.
Yum. Dude, we did that at the same time for real.
But yeah, that's
Nugget did it in the other room.
But yeah, that's what he's most famous for is Kingdom Come.
I'm hungry now. yeah, no, but that was such a cool picture of Spawn.
Yeah. Now that it makes me think if I don't have that cover.
It almost doesn't look like his Kingdom Come stuff, though, you know? Really.
Yeah, it looks very different than, because Alex Ross is very known for very, hyper-realized paintings.
This does not look like that hyper-real style. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's still a really cool cover.
Looks like a Spider-Man pose, though, for real, too.
Yeah, Spawn really has those. Another one of my favorite Spawns, is this guy right here. It looks like a picture drawing. Let me just see if I can pull up it's a Spawn.
Omega Spawn.
It's called Omega Spawn. So basically, Omega Spawn is a Spawn from a different timeline where after Spawn killed Malboja and later Satan, he took control and became the supreme leader of Hell.
Okay.
And all the power that came with it and like... He was a villain for a major crossover event in Image where all of Image's heroes teamed up to basically stop Spawn. Like, here's a, like, Spawn fight, like, this might just be regular Spawn fighting the Savage Dragon, but yeah. So basically...
That guy looks so cool.
This is Spawn. If Spawn threw out what, like, basically made him a hero and just took supreme control over Hell.
That guy looks awesome, though. For real.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Hellboy, and we have Spawn, and you said Spider-Man and Iron Man are your favorites.
Yeah, like, I also... Like, I read Batman comics a lot, but I don't really, like, will consider... Batman's probably one of my favorites in the sense that... But I really only...
Dude...
I followed Scott Snyder's Batman, and that's been about it.
Let me just say this, okay? Like, I did not like Batman that much. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the movies, I was like, okay, this is cool. I liked some of the Batman movies or whatever. And, like, I used to like Batman as a kid. You know, who didn't like Batman? But, like, in my later years and stuff, I was like, Batman's kind of overrated. I don't like him that much, you know? don't know, he just seems kind of like edgelordy. But then when you let me borrow that, oh, hello. We're back.
We back.
When you let me borrow that comic that was like the first run of the,
Scott Snyder run?
The Court of Owls. Yeah. That's what I was trying to come up with. Dude, that made me realize, like, maybe it's just Scott Snyder, though, to be fair. But, like, that was so cool, dude. I was like, damn, Batman is kind of becoming one of my favorite superheroes again.
Yeah.
Like, even though I used to not really like him that much, and in a way almost disliked him because I thought it was cheesy, the Scott Snyder comic, man, after I read that, I was like, damn, this is, like, really awesome.
Yeah, Scott Snyder writes a damn good book. Like, I don't know, because, like, there are some other good, there are good Batman titles, but put it like this, that Scott Snyder Batman run, when the New 52 was happening...
I spoiled myself, didn't I? But, like, no other Batman comics could be as good.
Well, there are
the
still
Snyder
some good
stuff.
Ones, like Hush and other things that have happened, but, like, put it like this, when the New 52 was happening and all the new brand of books were coming out, that one book, the Scott Snyder Batman book, was basically outselling every other book, like, with leaps and bounds. Like, it was the biggest book in the New 52.
It's just such a good story, you like, know? Like, yeah, it's got such an air of, like, mystery kind of to it, in a way, to where, like, it's a real page-turner, let me tell you, because... The whole time you're trying to figure out, like, dude, like, I have to know what's gonna happen next. Because, like, is Batman gonna be done in by, like, this fairy tale or, like, whatever he calls it? You know, like, the Court of Owls is, like, just a myth. But, like, you as the reader, you know it's not a myth. And you know he's about to get his ass beat soon.
Yeah, that's...
And then it happens. And he does get his ass beat. And you're like, how does this all end?
Yeah, like, that's something Scott Snyder does very well, as he writes a very good mystery.
Yeah.
And it's more than just his Batman books. Like, another comic we were talking about before, like, The Wake, which is that very much, like, underwater mystery kind of thing. Scott Snyder has this air of storytelling. Like, that book, it's very much, he always drops these little things. You're like, what the fuck is happening? And as soon as you think you know what's going to happen... Scott's like, no, it's really this. And they're like, fuck. And, like, he's just one of the best writers around. And then his book, Witches, it was terrifying. It was terrifying, and it was wonderful to read.
I think you showed me part of that, too. Yeah, that's... But, like, now I'm totally on board with, like, the Scott Snyder thing, and I really want to read more of his stuff. Yeah. I got to finish those comics that you gave me, though.
Because there's a lot happening. That story is still kind of going, because... You got all, like, the New 52 run, and then you have... I haven't read All-Star Batman, but then basically after that, you get in the wonderful event that is Dark Knight's Metal, which is, like, there's how... For those of you who don't know and do know, the multiverse in DC Comics basically have Earth Zero, I think it is Earth Zero, and then you have Earth One, Earth Two, Earth Three, and they kind of go up. And each one's a different universe. I think we're mainly on Earth Zero or Earth One. We might be on Earth One. But basically... What Scott Snyder, it might have been introduced before him, but what Scott Snyder really brought to the forefront recently is something called the Dark Multiverse. You guys got Earth Zero and Earth Negative One, Negative Two, Negative Three. These are universes that have been destroyed because things have happened that have imbalanced the nature of the world. Like, one of them, Batman, like, most of the ones he conquered, told about so far, are about evil Batman. A Batman who became Doomsday, a Batman who became the Joker, a Batman who became... the Flash and Cyborg and the God of War, and then Barbados, which everyone I think calls Barbados, because it's a evil Batman who became a god.
Jeez.
And they basically invade the Prime Universe and find a way to secure a door so they can just wipe out all of the multiverse by combining the Dark Multiverse in that. And it's a one hell of a story, and it brought fourth one of the most demented characters I've ever seen, which is the Batman Who Laughs, which it's like the complete genius and like tactical wit of the Batman combined with the evil and the complete insanity of the Joker.
Wow.
And it is a terrifying thing where Batman's like, I can't face this guy alone because he knows everything I know, but he's also got this very aura of unpredictability. Like, it's I'm trying not to spoil too much of the origin story for you, but, like, because you'll get into it with Dark Knight's Metal.
Yeah,
but...
just don't, actually. Just leave it at that, because, like, I'm invested.
He's...
I want to know.
Yeah,
like, I gotta read
They're really
myself.
Cool characters, but then, with Dark Knight's Metal, that kind of spiraled off into a bunch of stuff, but Scott Snyder's been writing the Justice League lately.
Okay.
And he brought back things like Perpetua, and they've been dealing with the Monitor and Anti-Monitor, which... The Perpetua is like the mother of the multiverse.
You started telling me about this one time, I think.
Yeah, and then the Monitor and Anti-Monitor, basically, they kind of monitor, like, create and destroy the multiverse. And then you have the World Forger, which is the third part of the Brothers, which creates the worlds and stuff like that. And then, basically, it involves all of them. And then the Batman Who Laughs has, like, brought forth objects from his dark universe forward, and he's got his own plan going on. And all that's culminating in an event coming up called Dark Knight's Death Metal, which isn't a Batman-centric story. It is a Wonder Woman story that basically involves Wonder Woman being, like, the Queen of Hell.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, let me see if I can just pull up some, just art from this stuff. It's, like... It's going to be crazy. Like, these are just some of the key arts from it. And, like, you got Swamp Thing right back there. The picture's not really loading in, yeah. But... Yeah, it's... going to be a nuts event. And I don't really know what's going on. No one really does, except
Well,
that...
I guess we're gonna find out, though, huh?
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun event.
Cool.
Fun event. Yeah, so we'll have to see where it goes from there. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Basically, it's Scott Snyder's a hell of a writer, and put it like this: you've seen a little bit of Metal, and you've seen how fucking balls to the wall that event was. That was Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo being kind of being restricted on things they can do. DC was like, we're going to give you leeway, we're not going to give you all the leeway. This time around, they basically told Scott and Greg, do whatever the fuck you want.
That sounds dangerous. Sounds dangerous.
Yep. So yeah, enough about me and my comic book exceptions. What about you, Joe? What are some of your favorites?
Well, you're a much bigger comic book guy than I am. So, I don't know. With my limited knowledge on comics and stuff, I would say Spider-Man, though, has always been one of those superheroes that has just really resonated with me ever since I was a kid. I've loved Spider-Man. I liked reading the comics. Of course, you know, the black suit, the Venom symbiote Spider-Man was always so cool to me. I wanted a Venom symbiote Spider-Man, you know, birthday cake when I was like little, you know, and I just always loved the web slinger, you know. And then when like last year when I played, or maybe it was 2 years ago now, when I played the Spider-Man game for PS4, it just re-cemented my love for the character. And you know, all the while we had the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, and then the Andrew Garfield ones, which some people didn't like and some people liked. I thought they were good.
Yeah.
And then now we have the Tom Holland ones, and I still like those. I've liked all the Spider-Man movies that have come out, pretty much, you know.
Do you know what Spider-Man movie we need? The Superior Spider-Man movie.
That would be really interesting.
We won't.
I don't
get
know
it,
if the world is ready for it.
No, it's not. But sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, the world's not ready for it. But yeah, just kind of, I'm sure a lot of it is just 90s nostalgia and stuff, too, from just being a kid and, like, superheroes were a really cool thing back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, that's what...
Arguably, they're cooler now, but I feel like comic books aren't as
They're not as prevalent. Popular, but it's, like, the problem is, like, compared to, like, when everyone thinks comics, like, oh, the old school stories, where it's, like, they're very campy and what's going on, and, like, you look at comic books now, where it's, like... The stories are fucking out of this world with all craziness going on. Like, I want to point out something I just noticed. Dinosaur Batman.
What? Dinosaur Batman?
That is apparently Dinosaur Batman. It is a dinosaur with a Batman logo on him.
Okay. Well, you know.
I'm about this. I didn't notice that.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But anyway, yeah, Spider-Man has always been one of my favorites, especially Scarlet Spider-Man, too.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever had any of the Scarlet Spider-Man comics when I was a kid, but I remember going into this comic book store and seeing Scarlet Spider-Man for the first time, and I was like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, at first I was like, that's stupid. And then I was like, no, that's actually really cool. I've been, like, ever since then, I was just like, dude, for some reason, Scarlet Spider-Man has always just stuck with me as, like, one of the coolest looking Spider-Mans,
or Spider-Man, yeah,
or whatever. And I've always just really loved it. And then, yeah, playing the video game, the Spider-Man 2018 or whatever the hell it was, for PS4.
Yeah, I think it was
2018. Dude, such a good game. It was so good. It was everything you could have basically wanted out of a Spider-Man game.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, definitely one of my favorite superheroes. I also have always been a big, big fan, arguably more than Spider-Man. I liked Venom when I was a kid. And part of that, too, is because I thought Spawn was cool, but, like, I was, like, more into Venom for some reason. You know, he had all the teeth and, like, the big tongue, and he's, like, the enemy of Spider-Man, and I just was, like, there's something so cool about him. He mm-hmm. could also sling his webs, but he had, like, the symbiote stuff going on, and he was just monstrous, you know? And he just felt, like, such a powerful, you know, like, kind of dark character. And, you know, now looking back on it, it's like, wow, Spawn and Venom definitely have so many similarities, like, in their look.
For a while, like, with Spawn 251 a few years ago, they literally started drawing Spawn with, like, teeth and...
Yeah. And he looks so much like Venom, you know? You just get rid of the eye, the green eye things.
Yeah.
And it's almost exactly Venom.
Yeah, like... Look at that art.
Yeah.
So that's fucking...
It's really cool. Like, it's almost weird, though, to be like... You know, I can definitely distinguish Venom from Spawn.
Yeah.
But, like... I don't know why I said it that way. I can almost definitely distinguish... Like, I can distinguish Spawn from Venom. However, like, the amount of similarities they share is almost like you straight up ripped off, even though it was the same guy that made both. It was almost like he made the same character twice.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt again, but it's like there's always something like bringing that up because it reminds me of, like, how great, like, how much Spawn looks like. To the point of, like, there's something I always bring up, like, Spawn always has great art.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm rereading the entire series. Like, there's never a time where, like, Spawn's had bad art.
Yeah.
Like, they've had some questionable, like, different art at times, but it's like, it's always like, man. It's like when a comic consistently has good art, and it's just a wonderful feeling. And I think it's what kind of also sells me why, like, how the Scott Snyder Batman run, because Greg Capullo, also very famous for Spawn, because he drew Spawn for a bunch of years, too.
Okay. I actually did not know that.
Yeah, but he, like, that's what he's, like, kind of most known for, is very much drawing Spawn. Like, is back in the day, he took over for Spawn. Like, it was just him and him and McFarlane were doing it. McFarlane still was writing it, but, like, Greg was drawing it. But yeah, they're kind of a duo. Like, this was both McFarlane and Capullo drawing this piece of art. But yeah, sorry. Wow. Yeah, it comes out, like, the art very much tells me in a book, and, like, the Batman Scott Snyder stuff between the lighting and the art, in which why I think Capullo works so well with Batman, because Batman, he draws very imposing, and, like, these big, like, the way he, like, draws them with the cape around him is very much how Spawn is drawn a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I could definitely see that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say another, like, going back to the characters that I kind of, like, find synonymous to, besides Scarlet Spider-Man and Venom, another Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Is someone that I know you...
Doctor Doom is definitely a character that I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool that he uses magic and technology. He's also a super genius, you know?
Yeah.
He has the cool armor and, like, the green cape and everything, and... I don't know, man. Like, Doctor Doom's just got something about him to where it's, like... You know, He may not be like Venom to where he's like physically imposing and could just rip you apart, but he's got almost more of like that like kind of Lex Luthor kind of thing to where like, you know, he's just so smart, you know, that this man could just take over the world.
And he does.
Just purely with like how smart and, you know.
I kind of like almost anymore like whenever like, because I don't know if they do it as much anymore because I haven't like read most, like I've kept up with some comics recently, but not every one of them. I almost like the when I started getting back into him was like how they started depicting Doom is like he was almost like a hero. He's like, I'm just here to protect Latveria. I don't want anything else going on. It's like anymore if they go back to Doom just being your average run of the mill villain, I think it's almost a waste.
Yeah,
like because he's such that, a
that's
great,
another thing too.
He's a better character being more of the anti-hero.
Yeah, to where like he's given basically the power to be God, and like what does he do? He doesn't act selfishly really with it.
Yeah,
like he's like, okay, like this is definitely a big blessing, but like, you know, I'm gonna try and do at least what he thinks is the right thing, you know.
Yeah,
and plus yeah, he mercs Thanos. That's such a cool moment.
God Doom is such a cool thing. If
and he wears the white cape and everything, and it has like the white armor.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, they're in a recent secret. Like there was the classic Secret Wars, but recently Marvel had an event called Secret Wars where they jammed all their realities together. But it turns out it was all an event orchestrated by Doom, and where he basically absorbed all the power, remaining power of all the multiverses, all the universes that were dead, and combined them all into one, and became God Doom. And like this is also, let me turn this back on, but basically it's another thing where it has some of probably the best art.
Yeah, I've that's seen.
It's just
for
like
sure. Yeah,
like look at that. That is like literally his police force were all different Thors. They were all different Thors. His throne was Yggdrasil, the world tree. And he literally, it was such a cool moment, like, of just him ruling and, like, yeah, he was kind of a shithead in the way it did, but he just eviscerates Thanos, no problem.
Well, Thanos started getting uppity, you know, and being like, I am the great Thanos, and he's like, well, I'm God, and don't you ever sneeze in my direction, or I'm gonna rip your spine out, and then he does.
Yeah, so God Doom is really cool, and like if there's like that Secret Wars, it was Secret Wars is good. Like it was like, oh look, they're doing another Secret Wars, blah 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 blah. But come on,
yeah, you get stories like definitely want to read the whole thing.
Like yeah, it's a really good read, especially like you have the police force that is Thor's. There is a section of the world that is just all the zombies from the Marvel Zombies event, and like. Strapped, they had like he had like Reed Richards strapped to the sun or something like that.
Wait, what? Marvel Zombies was in the Secret Wars?
Yeah.
All right, what happened with that?
They were just like kind of locked in there. Like, I think this was in
he's just like, I'm God, so I don't really care.
Yeah. They just kind of like, I definitely misspelled that, but I don't think it's going to really show so much art. But yeah, it was just a section that was basically all the zombies of all these characters.
Okay.
And I want to say, if I remember, I think he had Reed Richards strapped to the sun. Like Reed was basically removed from the equation because...
Wow.
There's one thing, Doom loves Reed and Sue's kids. He just hates Reed. Like, he, like, it's weird, it's like, their biggest villain, like, they made the godfather of their children.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he, like, had Reed, like, strapped to the sun. I can't really, like, find the images of it, but it was a fucking great comic, and I think he had,
that's,
like, Galactus.
That's some wild stuff.
And I think he had, like, Galactus as, like, his guard dog standing outside his castle, so.
Oh my god.
It was kind of a very, it was a really ridiculous scenario. And, yeah, if you ever want to read something cool, read Secret Wars.
Yeah, I do really want to read Secret Wars, but, yeah, I'm going to probably read all the Batman Scott Snyder stuff first and then, you know, move on to that later. But
yeah, because, I mean, that's probably the good point because the Batman Scott Snyder stuff, that story's still going with, like, Death Metal coming up And then Scott Snyder is going to start writing the JSA, which is the Justice Society of America, after that. And yeah, this story is kind of done. It was like trying to keep up and figure out what was going on in Marvel, because at the time the Secret Wars was happening, there were two books coming out that Jonathan Hickman was writing called Avengers and New Avengers, and it alternated. New Avengers was basically following the Illuminati, which is basically, if you don't know who the Illuminati is in Marvel, it is the biggest, it is the smartest people in all of the Marvel universe, kind of operating in the shadows, making the tough calls.
And wasn't Iron Man part of that at one point?
Iron Man was on it. Captain America was on it. I'm trying to... New Avengers... I'm trying to remember who was on the team. Like, there was... it was kind of like a very much a rotating thing, but it was like Iron Man, Black Panther, Reed Richards, I think it was Doctor Strange, Namor, the Submariner, Captain America, Black Bolt, and Professor X was originally on there, but after the events of, I think it was Avengers versus X-Men, which resulted in Cyclops killing Professor X, Beast joined the Illuminati. And so, basically, you
notice how, like, you know, like, Joe Biden and, like, I don't know. like, you know, there's no politicians in the Illuminati. It's all superheroes. You know, there's no, you know, Kim Jong-un or anything like that. No, like, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. You know, they're not on the Illuminati. No, Putin. No, it's not. It's like Iron Man. And then, like, Beast. Okay.
So basically... So
that's what the real Illuminati is. Yeah. It's just superheroes. And they don't want you to know. But now we know.
So... In a nutshell, the lead-up to Secret Wars was basically these comic word alternate one-on-one.
And Batman's not? Oh, I'm kidding. I know. I'm just kidding.
Basically, it was following them trying to figure out why universes were being wiped out. And them trying to... Like, it was a very... When I got into comics, this was happening, and it was a very confusing book to figure out at first. Because very much so... Even when you, like, got caught up, you're like, all right, but still, what's happening? And you got, like, years of these books, and you had no idea what was going on. Except, like, bits and pieces till the very end, you're like, oh, well, we're all fucked.
Well, I want to give, you know, one last shout-out to another cool superhero.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
Before we wrap, because it's probably getting about that time.
Yeah. Obviously, I know too much about comic books.
The new Ghost Rider.
Okay.
I read a couple issues of that, like two or three or maybe even four. That was super.
That was a fun comic. By new Ghost Rider, you mean the Ghost Rider?
Robbie Reyes.
Yeah, okay, because there's another new Ghost Rider.
Oh, that's stupid. I don't like him already. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but so like, Robbie Reyes.
Yeah, Robbie Reyes, Ghost Rider. I didn't know there was another new Ghost Rider.
Yeah, the new Ghost Rider is also a character we've, like, known for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's the new Ghost Rider?
Frank Castle.
Really?
The new Ghost Rider is the Punisher, but he has attained the power cosmic from Galactus. He is known as the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So basically, he was the Herald of Galactus, but he basically said, fuck that, like every Herald of Galactus does. And, yeah, he's the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
He looks like Dr. Freeze. Or Mr. Freeze, I mean.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a skull in there instead. That's funny.
Yeah, I haven't read much, but, yeah, he was working with Thanos for a while, but I think he said fuck that and joined the Guardians in the end. Yeah, it's an interesting...
Cosmic Galaxy.
Yeah.
Those Guardians?
Yeah, those Guardians.
Or, like, because if it wasn't those Guardians, I was going to say, is it... the Guardians, like, of the Galaxy, or, like, the Asgardians? Which Guardians?
No, of the Galaxy. I'm
kidding. That's a stupid joke.
I'm pretty sure that, because it's kind of weird to think about that, because why he has that bull in his head, considering he's the Spirit of Vengeance. But I'm like, it could be because he can't breathe in space, because he's still human.
Or maybe it just, like, they thought it looks cool.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually look cool. Looks stupid. All right. Well, anything else before we wrap? All right. Well, then we're going to call that an episode. And as always, we'd like to thank you for, you know, tuning in. And you can find us on Twitter at ROEorg. And you can find me at ROETengu on Twitter. And you can follow us on Facebook. And you could subscribe to us on YouTube. And you can find Trevor on everything at Octopus Inkblots.
True story.
And
I subscribed to Matt Heafy's Twitch channel when he was streaming one time. Because I'm like, oh, I want to see if, like... One, because he sits there and shouts at everyone that subscribes. I'm like, it would be cool to just hear Matt Heafy, like, call out my handle.
Yeah.
So I subscribed. And he's like, thank you, Octopus. And I'm like, good.
Good enough.
I made Matt Heafy
say the word octopus.
Stutter at my handle. Yep, that's my dumb story.
All right. Well, and then also we do have hoodies and stuff like that that you can, you know.
Masks.
If that's something that you like. No, we're not that silly. But that was a good joke.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Think that's all, right?
Yeah, that's all.
All right, cool.
Follow, like, subscribe. Be safe.
Leave avoid a comment, pet your dog.
Avoid other people. Keep away from them. Obviously, we don't listen. Well, we mostly listen. We just...
Yeah, I have to go to work and work with the public.
Yeah, this is just easier for us to record currently.
All right, anyway.
Either way, excuses aside, goodbye.